You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Time to join Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away for our biblical worldview question of the week. And man, today we're talking about something we cannot escape this side of heaven. We're going to be talking about suffering.
That's right. And is there a reason for suffering that we might be missing in the midst of all of that? You know, we touched on this a little bit in our scripture today. And the phrase is, you know, if you're not in a crisis right now, you're either coming out of one or you're headed toward one, and that can bring about suffering. But are we missing something in that suffering? Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning, Steve and Kelly. You just sound so good today. It's exciting always on Tuesdays to join you and talk about really important things.
Well, these topics are very important, and this one is super important right now to understand exactly what it is that we might be missing in suffering.
So, Nancy, is there a reason for suffering that we're missing?
Yeah, and I think that's the cry of so many Christians as well as non-believers. It's this whole thing about suffering. If God were a good God, why would he allow suffering is the ongoing question. But the thing is that we need to see suffering as something that God's created us to walk through to become stronger. And when we look at it with different lenses, so we're going to try to do that this morning as we take a very good look at this whole issue. On April 20th, 1999, I know you all can remember it, a school shooting, attempted bombing occurred at Columbine High School in Columbine, Colorado. The perpetrators were 12th grade students, two of them. They murdered 12 students and one teacher, and 10 students of those were killed in the student library where these two high school students eventually committed suicide. The shots injured 21 additional people, and gunfire was exchanged with the police. Another three people were injured trying to escape. At this time in history, it was the deadliest mass shooting at a high school in U.S. history. That was 1999. And I'm just reading these news reports. This is another one. March 23rd, 2023. Educators at Denver's East High School knew that a troubled 17-year-old was on probation from an Aurora weapons criminal charge, so they carefully checked him daily for firearms before allowing him to come to school. Searching the student this particular day were two administrators who were shot immediately when they found his gun. His name was Austin, and he ran from the school and eventually shot himself. And these two teachers, administrators, one was treated and released, and the other one went through surgery on Wednesday and was released with in serious condition on Thursday afternoon.
Well, this seems like, you know, a very familiar story, and it was just in the news recently, Nancy, that, you know, we are on track to set a record for the number of mass shootings here in the United States this year. What does that look like then? And this is just one more addition to those, but what does that look like for us here in the United States?
Yes, and what difference do those shoot? How are these shootings related? And, you know, we look at these shootings, and the United States has faced at least 163 mass shootings so far this year. And these events are now so numerous that we fail to be shocked at man's inhumanity to man. When we hear about this stuff, we get so self-absorbed that most of us pay little or no attention to these events until they become personal. And this is the issue. I live now 5 minutes from Columbine High School. And my granddaughter had planned to attend Denver East this next year. These acts of evil have become very personal. These two for me, because they're so close to home. And I think we have all experienced one time or another where horrible things have happened in humanity to man, and we're close to it. And the thing is, from this, from the shootings and all of these things, more often from not, the innocent victims, they are the victims of someone's sin. And how many people are so bothered that, what did I do about this? Is this fair? And again, God gets the brunt of it. Where is God in all this? Could he not have stopped the bullets? And if so, why didn't he?
Well, how do we respond to that why question, though, Nancy? How do we make sense of the suffering? That's the thing. How can we make sense of it? We're going to deal with it. We know that. We have to deal with it in this life. How do we make sense of it?
Yeah, and I think when this stuff happens, we have to go back to the basics of what you guys talk about every single day. It's that God designed human beings to love him and to love others. That is in our DNA. That is how God made every single human being, with the same charge to love God and to love others. And part of loving God is choosing to obey him. They go hand in hand, which requires faith that God is who he says he is, the one true sovereign God, no matter what. But this is the thing, and it's basic to Christianity, but I think we just need to remind ourselves over and over and over again that God is love, but he does not force anybody to love him, because true love demands and involves choice. God gave Adam and Eve a choice way back in the Garden of Eden, and they chose to disobey God and turn instead to Satan. That's exactly what's happening today. When we don't choose to obey God, trust me, we are playing in Satan's territory. And the evil one, whose goal is to kill and destroy, has huge influence on us when we choose to rebel against God. And that happens, at least a temptation to happen, every single day for all of us. But from our rebellion, when we choose to rebel, comes pain and suffering, not only to ourselves, but to others. And, you know, it's part of the consequence of horrible choices. And again, John 10:10 is so precise on this. The thief, who's Satan, comes to steal and destroy. But I, just Jesus talking here, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So we have a juxtaposition here that we face every single day of following the Lord or following our sin nature, which is to rebel and do our own thing.
Well, I tell you, you know, most people, you hear them enduring suffering, and there's a complaint that goes along with that. And often it is aimed at God. And it's not wrong to shake our fist at God. It's not wrong to express our anger. But is it really fair to blame God for our suffering?
Yeah, and I think when we blame God, it takes us nowhere. It just makes us madder. And I had my fist in the air toward God for 32 years of my life, so I get it. Just mad at God, blaming him for everything. And I didn't understand, and I know many don't, that we humans are the creators of suffering. It's not by God's design. It's our sin, our propensity to sin. But God allows for the suffering to bring about the good things and to bring about hope through us if we listen and we respond to suffering in the way God called us to. But he did not create it. And the good news is that even though we royally mess up, and we do, God enters into our suffering in his pursuit of us. And I just think this is such the point, is that when we suffer, God is poised to enter into it. We invite him into our suffering, and he will pursue us, be persistent with us during these times. Hope is not lost. God is restoring creation to its original righteous design. That is what God is about, restoring us to himself. And Jesus's goal is to redeem all humanity. So I think when we look into this closer, we can look at former atheist and writer Lee Strobel. You know, he says this: moral evil is the immorality and the pain and suffering and tragedy that come because we choose to be selfish, arrogant, uncaring, hateful, and abusive. In Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you know, he goes on to say, so much of the world's suffering results from sinful action or inaction of ourselves and others. For example, people look at a famine and they wonder where God is, but the world produces enough food for each person to have 3,000 calories daily. It's our own irresponsibility and self-centeredness that prevents people from getting fed. And explaining it another way, he says, a person could use a hand, his hand to hold a gun and shoot someone, or use the same hand to feed hungry people. He says, it's your choice, but it's unfair to shoot somebody and then blame God for the existence of evil and suffering. You know, and he says, like that old cartoon, we have seen the enemy and he is us. This whole idea of coming to grips to the reality of what is causing the spark that causes the suffering.
Nancy, you've said that while most suffering is caused by sin, that God can use what he hates to bring about what he loves. And I've heard that statement before, but I want you to explain a little more in depth what you mean by that, because that is helpful.
Yeah, it's really helpful, because God does not want us to stay in this condition. He's promised us a new world at the end of the line here of our lives. But we need to remember that God, yes, he's our judge. Yes, he's a God of justice. Yes, he hates sin, but he's also our redeemer. And when we admit that we have sinned and confessed our sins to God, he is faithful to forgive us. And his invite is to, will you let me come into this? Will you let me walk through this with you? In the restoration process, he hasn't come to push us deeper. He has come to allow us to experience suffering so that we might cry out to God and call him to come close to us. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So in the midst of the terrible, there is hope. And if we confess our sins in First John 1:9, he is faithful, there it is, and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God does and will continue to allow us to choose the path that will take us closer to him. Or we can become bitter toward God, like so many have become, and walk away. And when we're walking with God through the hard times, This is the beauty of God. Even though we have caused the suffering, he gives us a peace and he gives us hope and he gives us a future. And he reminds us that this suffering is temporary and eternal heaven awaits. And this is the crescendo. This is the crescendo for all human beings, all believers. It's just this idea that we live, we're just visitors here on this planet. Sometimes we get in the mindset, but this is all that will ever be for eternity. No, this is the moment. This, our time on earth is brief compared to all eternity. And this is what is so amazing, that when we're through it, we need to remember that heaven awaits. In Revelation 21:3-5, says this: and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and their God. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was sealed on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. There it is. And if we keep heaven in perspective, I mean, this is what's so cool. When we keep heaven in our minds and stuff happens, we know, A, God's with us, and B, this is not the end. This stint on earth is simply going to point us to our destiny. Either on this earth, we're going to trust God, or we are not. Billy Graham says it so well. He said this, but man rebelled against God, and man said, I don't need you, God. I can build my world without you. And God said, if you take that position, you will suffer and die. Man took that position, began to suffer, and has been dying ever since. Physical death is just the body's death, but the spirit lives on. If your soul is separated from God for eternity, it will be lost forever. The Bible teaches that Satan is the author of sin, and sin is the reason that we have afflictions, including death. All of our problems, all of our suffering, including death, results from man's rebellion against God. But God has provided a rescue in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Christ died on the cross. That's why he rose again from the dead. And what wise words from Billy Graham. I just miss hearing his preaching, because he is so direct, so right on. And then John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And I think Joshua 24:15, choose this day whom you will serve. And it seems so simple, but you know, it's a choice. It's a choice we just all have to make. We have to choose each day when we don't feel good, when somebody's betrayed us, when there's evil, when this and that and the other, we do not deserve it. We have a choice that God gives us to choose to live this day for his glory and accept suffering as hard as it is, knowing this is temporary. Somehow, some way, through this affliction, through this instant, God will use it for good. He will be glorified if I allow that to happen. And boy, that's such a hard charge. And I feel so hypocritical saying that, because we all struggle with it.
Yeah.
We all struggle with it. It's just, I think it's part of being human, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's part of the human condition, is to cry out to that. It is something that we have to understand. We walk by faith, right? And we want assurance in our suffering. And that is what grows us spiritually, whether that suffering is caused by our own hand or if that is the evil in the world, regardless of its source, God is allowing us to grow in our faith through those trials. So important. Yeah.
I think so. And with so many people walking away from their faith, again, the vast majority of young men and women through college are walking away from their faith. And I think it's because of such a clash of cultures, such a clash of worldviews, you know, within a college, within the workplace, if they choose to go into the workplace and not on into higher education or into the military, wherever they go, it's chaos. It is absolute chaos. And that's why parents have such an important role to teach and encourage their younger people that life is hard. It is difficult. And from human eyes, it seems impossible. But God just says, please trust me with this. Invite me into your pain and suffering, and I will be with you. And it's just, it's just such a good reminder for all of us. Why is this the number one search on Google? Why does God allow suffering? It's because we need to talk about it. And suffering is not the end all. God uses it always, and he's willing to make us stronger and to encourage others through the way we suffer. And that's why I teach students so much of what we teach is, how then do we suffer well? If suffering is a part of this life, how do we suffer well? And I think it's because we keep our mind on Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. and we walk with him through it, through the pain and suffering. And, you know, nobody's saying this is easy. But boy, it is such a good lesson for us to learn in the midst of very scary days. Terrifying out there.
In an effort to continue to grow in our understanding and be stretched spiritually, Nancy's inviting you to visit anchorsaway.org. You can go over there, find out all the resources, the curriculum for worldview and leadership training, everything that's available to you there. Also, want to encourage you, grab a copy of Unanswered, Smoke, Mirrors, and God. It's a wonderful Bible study that you are going to be blessed by. You can also find all the former Question of the Weeks. They are all posted and shared there as well at anchorsaway.org. Nancy, thank you.
Well, thank you guys again, and love you, and just pray for the Christian community and those that are seeking, that they will find God in the midst. So, this has just been a really nice morning, and hopefully people will take what we've been talking about and bring it alive.
Absolutely. Nancy, we appreciate you, and we'll get connected again next week and hopefully get connected face-to-face soon, too. And do go and check out, as you're listening this morning, the website anchorsaway.org. Difficult question this morning, but man, we are not without hope, even in the midst of the greatest suffering that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.